Welcome in time for KER Politics. It is the first day of the week. Normally, we don't do a daily editorial on the first day of the week, but we are this Monday and probably well into the future. A couple of things that I want to bring up, I want to thank you for that Jimmy was going to do. One of them is we got some constructive criticism on the show being very good when we have at least one guest on. We're going to shoot for that as soon as we can. Other comments, somebody commented about, and this was over the weekend. It actually did not happen over the weekend. It happened last night. Somebody commented that over the weekend there were five shots fired in Seattle. That actually made the paper this morning. That happened, if I'm not mistaken, late last night, which technically, I suppose, is the weekend. Let me give you a little insight on that, by the way. It happened in a part of Seattle called Rainier Beach. Rainier Beach, ever since I was a kid, has been a very rough area. The high school has excellent, excellent athletic teams, but in terms of a place where you'd want to live, I don't think that would be it, personally. And I'm not putting the students down at Rainier Beach. I'm just saying that it's not uncommon to have a lot of violence down there. I want to tell you another story that's kind of interesting, though. I have a friend here at the Corlin House, and she is a retired school teacher. Matter of fact, she taught her entire career at Garfield High School, which is kind of interesting. Garfield High School in Seattle is considered to be a much rougher high school than Rainier Beach, etc. And I was talking with her yesterday, and I said, was there a lot of violence there? And she said, Al, honest to God, I taught my entire career there. It was the one school that I'm very aware of where I really didn't have to worry about anything. Everybody trusted everybody else. It really worked out well. So you really kind of need to hear the whole stories on these things. Would I go down to the Rainier Beach District at night? Kind of like I wouldn't go to Harlem at night. The answer is absolutely not. Would I go to downtown Portland at night? Absolutely not. Will I go to downtown Seattle at night? Sure, if I'm going to a baseball game and I had a light rail vehicle to get on as soon as I got out of the baseball game, but I wouldn't go downtown in Seattle looking for a place to have a drink. There's not a chance in the world I would do that. Anyway, Liberal Al is going to turn everything over to, not everything, but Liberal Al is going to turn the rest, part of the rest of the daily editorial to Liberal Jimmy. Jimmy, are you done dedicating money to Joe Biden?
Oh yeah, you bet.
I think he needs more money.
So I'm more left than Lloyd Austin and these guys, which is, you know, it's pretty funny. Probably the most disturbing thing that I've seen in a long time. Okay, you're talking about the violence there in Seattle and this, you know, the decay of moral, communities, but the lack of discipline in the education system, the and mentality that somehow we owe people something, it's out of control. And this leftist ideology that is really driving most of these big urban areas into the headlines that we're seeing and the violence that we're seeing, it doesn't work. It doesn't work. No. And eventually people wake up and say, you know what? This isn't the way I want to live. I don't want to live in a violent area.
Right.
The problem is authoritarians take control. They use law enforcement. They use the justice system. They use the propaganda tools in order to shut out any opposition to their political agenda. And, you know, that's what we're facing, and that's what Seattle's facing.
Jimmy, stop. You're belittling your own people when you say the leftists, according to a very sophisticated audience that we have. Come on, lefty.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, hey, what is interesting to me, and again, the most interesting piece of information I had, okay, Devin Archer testifying today behind closed doors in the Oversight Committee and the Weaponization of Government Committee. That was pretty powerful. And, of course, with the Justice Department on Saturday sending out a letter to the judge saying, hey, we want to get this guy, basically sending a threatening letter to the judge to indirectly threaten Devin Archer. Don't worry, you're going to be going to jail sometime, just to remind him before he went before the House Committee. That's pretty crazy. But the worst thing that I heard all weekend, and it was from hearings on the new chief of staff of the Air Force nominee the Biden administration put forward, General Brown, four-star General Brown, who said that he actually had quotas and signed off last August, a year ago, on quotas to reduce the number of white officers in the Air Force. I mean, that's freaking insane.
Yeah.
I mean, why in the world would you think that somehow that is a good idea to racially target a particular group?
I don't know, Jim.
Particularly one that's 70% of your overall force, and say we're going to lose 10% and get it down to 47 or 49%, I believe, somewhere around those numbers. The level – so what you're seeing right now, Al, is the results – of the 8 years under Obama, because the people that got promoted to colonel and one star under Obama are the ones that are now the three and the four stars.
Right.
And they were politically driven and motivated. And if they didn't hold the toe the line,
right,
then they would be axed. And that's and what you're seeing for policy strategy across the board, you're seeing this legacy of that corruption under the Obama era that is now permeating everything within the Biden administration. And they don't, I don't think they know how to stop it. I think they've lit the fire so deeply that they're going to have to push it even just to crazy ends, which is why you see the Justice Department doing what they're doing, what you're seeing, transportation,
right.
EPA, IRS. It's crazy.
Yeah, it is. It's absolutely crazy. But, you know, Jim, I'm a little disappointed because you are bashing, saying a lot of negative things about my liberal comrades, and that bothers me.
Tavarishi, the Porosky, your comrades.
Da, konnichiwa. You know, the guy who lives across the hall from me speaks a little bit of Russian. It's really kind of funny. He's really a nice guy. He speaks a little bit of Russian. So we obviously plan the coups, you know, where we're going to take over shit together. Nobody can understand what we're saying.
Hey, there's some really good things that popped up this weekend, though, that I will say.
I'll be done in 10 minutes. You said 2 o'clock. Okay? Anyway, what were you saying?
Yeah, so some other things that popped up over the weekend. You know, I think the guys made mention of something that we were going to talk about. We've actually talked about a lot in the past. That's the social credit score system and how the banks are going ahead and pushing that. And we have talked about that for those that want to go back and listen. We have talked about the expanding censorship regime and this politically correct agenda that is infiltrating into all aspects of our financial system.
Yeah.
And as that pushes forward, you're going to see either pretty strong pushback or a bunch of people lose their jobs. And we talked about it, what happened in Canada with taking away money from the truckers and taking away people that supported money, locking up their bank accounts. I mean, this is beyond criminal. We're seeing it on a massive scale across the board in many, many areas.
Okay.
And one of the things that came out this weekend, which I thought was really interesting, in an interview, it actually came out last week with Sean Hannity, and I really have little respect for Sean Hannity, but he was interviewing RFK Jr. And in that interview, he talked about a federal law that is in place. This is RFK Jr. talking about a federal law that was in place that you can't get approval for a emergency youth authorization vaccine if there is an alternative treatment process, something else out there that's currently existing either on the market that maybe not directly related to the issue but has an effect on it.
Right.
So basically what he said was, and he followed this up with Megyn Kelly in an interview with Megyn Kelly, is Anthony Fauci, the CDC, and the entire federal government apparatus inside the health community basically to support the pharmaceutical industry's $200 billion deals,
yeah,
did not want anybody to get ivermectin or hydroxychloroquine or any other possible alternative therapy for COVID, because if that was approved, then that would mean they would not get the EUA, the emergency use authorization for the COVID vaccines.
Yeah.
So this is like a huge smoking gun if this law is in fact in place. And I haven't done the research to actually identify the specific law on EUA. Right. But I will take a look at that.
Yeah.
And the other piece of it is this email that came out last week on Anthony Fauci way back in early 2020, before even the lockdowns, where he admitted in the email that it would be ugly if basically, and this is summarized, it'd be ugly if the Chinese got caught with the Wuhan lab, because he knew they were doing, quote, gain of function research in that lab.
Yeah.
So when he testified before the Oversight Committee in Congress, and with Rand Paul,
yeah,
he said specifically there was no, he waffled and said there was no gain of function research there.
Right.
Now it turns out that there's an actual document from him admitting that prior to that testimony.
Yeah.
And Rand Paul has now forwarded to the Department of Justice a criminal referral for Anthony Fauci in contempt of Congress and lying before Congress Congressional Committee.
I saw Dr. Paul on the he too, like his dad, is a doctor, by the way. I saw him on YouTube probably the last two or three days. He is really effective in the way he criticizes, and it's too bad, but it is what it is. He's a good guy, and you're going to see him up near the top pretty soon, in my opinion. Jimmy, I got to run in about 3 minutes. There's a woman coming in here who does not like me, and she is supposed to clean my apartment a little bit. I don't want to be sitting here when she gets here.
Well, tell her you're a lefty, and then she'll probably like you a little bit better.
Tell her what?
Just like everybody in the community. So.
Yeah, I know.
Hey, Al, and we're trying to provide information. We're trying to get people to think alternative, and if they're questioning it, that's one thing. And I love it if they're making comments that question it, but it's really too bad that people start throwing ridiculous, petty, personal insults. It's childish to me, and I just don't understand why we do that. Very rarely. I have on occasion, I think once or twice, I've actually made a comment. I called a bunch of people idiots once, and I apologize for it. But other than that, I've always wanted to respect other people's thoughts and views. And if they can't do that, good on them. That's up to them. They talk to St. Peter, not me.
I've been doing this for too long is all I can say. And I do know a little bit about what I'm talking about. And you know a lot about what you're talking about, so let's just leave it at that. Jimmy, I love you, buddy. If there's anything we need to talk about further in this daily editorial, if you wouldn't mind calling me back about 2:45, I don't want to have a run-in with this woman, so we can do it again then.
Oh, you bet. And hey, let's all put prayers out for CFS because we haven't heard from him a little bit. I know he's been in the hospital in intensive care for a bit.
Oh, CFS, God bless you. Seriously.
Yeah, we'll say prayers for him and actually everybody else out there, especially for this nation, because
I agree, Jimmy. CFS is one of my favorite guys on here. I've been talking to him off and on the phone since about 2000. Jimmy, always a pleasure. Thanks, man.
You bet, Al.